Hello and welcome to the Fiorella Files. I'm your hostess, Fiorella Nash, sometimes known by my nom de plume, Fiorella De Maria. I am a writer of books historical and mysterious, and an incorrigible bibliophile, so it is a great pleasure to be making a programme on pretty much my favourite subject, books. Those of you who are wide awake will notice I'm giving you a slightly different intro today. And that is because this is a very special episode for me. This is my 52nd episode of the Fiorella Files, not including all the children's episodes. Over the year, we have shared together 156 books in total. Some of them wonderful, some of them awful, some of them simply interesting. And I have a little news to share with you today. This is going to be my last episode of the Fiorella Files for a little while. I hope it's not the end, but I have some fairly stiff literary deadlines creeping up on me and I need to devote a little more time to my writing. So I am putting the Fiorella Files on ice for a little while. For this sort of ending episode, I've decided to do something a little bit different, and I feel some trepidation about even trying this because it feels a tiny bit pretentious, and one thing writers always struggle to do is to market themselves. But what I would like to do today, because I've had a little bit of interest from some listeners over the past year, is, if I may, to share with you some of my own books, in the hope that it might spark a little bit of discussion. And I'm going to start with my one and only non-fiction book. As you may know, I am predominantly a novelist. I write historical novels and increasingly now I write murder mysteries. People like murder mysteries. Crime pays. But I have written one non-fiction book under my married name, Fiorella Nash, and that is The Abolition of Woman: How Radical Feminism is Betraying Women. This book came about as a result of years of research and giving lectures on the university circuit, as well as media appearances, some more successful than others. And the journey really started many years ago, around the time my first baby was born, when I read an article in a magazine which I felt was needlessly misogynist in tone, which seemed to be arguing that women had absolutely nothing to complain about, and even took some pot shots at women who'd asked for the vote 100 years before. And I asked the editor permission to write a response. And I wrote an article called Time for a New Feminism? In which I acknowledged the many problems with radical feminism and contemporary feminism in general, but put the case that women still face struggles in the world, particularly in developing countries, which we tend to ignore, and that there is a need for a strong female voice to put the case for women's empowerment, but that we also have to be very realistic about where things have gone wrong. I braced myself when I sent the article off for publication, but it got a much more positive response than I expected. And the article caused a little bit of attention, and I was quite soon afterwards asked to give a lecture on the subject of Can You Have a Pro-Life Feminism? Once again, I was expecting a lot of hostility, but found instead that people were very receptive, particularly young women. And things moved from there. I conducted more and more detailed research on the different areas affecting women that involved life issues, so abortion, IVF, surrogacy, sex selective abortion, enforced birth control, particularly in China. I have also looked at euthanasia from the point of view of women. Now, that's a much, much harder subject to research because there's a lot more what we would call noise. There are so many factors that affect women's well-being in the latter stages of life that it can be quite difficult sometimes to tease out the different threads. But I was able over a period of years to gather a huge body of information. And through giving a huge number of talks, I can't remember now how many talks on the subject of pro-life feminism and the new feminism I gave, I was able to gauge responses. There were always very heated Q&A sessions where people's objections would come out, but also people's genuine questions. So I was able to test the material and develop it, which was really invaluable, and I'm extremely grateful to the London-based organisation, the Society for the Protection of Unborn Children, for giving me the space to do that. I certainly learned a lot. I could always tell who my opponents were when I stepped into a room, because they were usually sitting at the front holding hands because I'm so scary, or the truth is so scary, or something.